now, my Savior, I come to thee. We'll do the chorus again. Oh, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can be. We need you in our homes, Lord. Our cities are crying out to you for mercy. This country needs you. The planet weeps with pain. We need you to rescue us. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Have mercy on our souls. Rain down your grace. Help us be more like you. I'm just going to play this little bit. I'm making it up as I go along. And I want you to think about something you want to intercede. You want to go before the throne of God asking in these really confusing times. This has been a crazy week, and it continues to be crazy, and I have lots of conflicted feelings. My heart breaks over our cities burning down, and we do need to call out on God. On this Pentecost Sunday, we cry out for the Holy Spirit to rain down on us, to make us more like God, to give us the marching orders for this time, for the places where you, God is calling you to do, the part of this justice work, the part of being like Jesus that God is calling out to you. So my invitation is, you might want to sing that phrase as a prayer. You might be next to someone who doesn't want to hear you sing. You want to pray that prayer. You might be sitting alone in your home. Sing out. Pray for God's mercy and justice to rain down. So I'm going to just do this for a second. and I'll be praying the things that come to my mind as well. So join me in this. Have mercy on me, Lord. Teach me forgiveness and grace. I need you to rescue me. I call out for your mercy. Send your grace right now. The whole world groans. Please come in power. We need you, Lord. Oh, we need you, Lord. Have mercy, have mercy. Send your power rain down on us. Oh, when the words don't come to my mouth, fill my heart with your power. Strengthen me for the journey. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. Oh, bless me now, my Savior.
As we light our Holy Spirit candles, we remember that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit.
Good morning, Church Without Walls. I am Tim Zener Davis. I am a member here at Church Without Walls. I want to have everybody unmute yourselves. Unmute yourselves when you're unmuted. Say amen.
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 And then on the count of three, together amen. We will say, amen. On the count of three, together we will say, peace be with you, sister. Peace be with you, brother.
Peace.
One, two, three.
Peace be with you, sister.
Peace be with you, brother.
All right, go ahead and mute yourselves.
Because there's just us here.
We want to welcome those of you who are visitors or newcomers with us here today at Church Without Walls. We'd like to invite you if you have questions, or you would like more information, I should say, about our church community, or if you would like to be added on to our email list, you can go ahead and go down to the chat and look for admin CWOW and go ahead and enter your questions or put in your email information, and we will hook you up. You can also go to our website and also submit your questions or your email information@churchwithoutwallsberkeley.org. But again, if you are a visitor or newcomer, we are glad to have you here with us. We're going to change up things a little bit this morning, and we're actually going to cut away from me for a moment and go to Sister Sarah with I Wonder.
Good morning, CWOW. Hi, Godly Play Kids. I see you guys on the screen. It's so nice to see you. Good morning. All of us at CWOW, we love to see your faces. You're such an important part of our church, whether you are a very small kid or a very big kid. I'm so proud of how you're doing with Shelter in Place. Oh, good job. Thanks for coming close to the screen. I love that. Hey, I'm wondering if you have ever come so close to God, or if God has ever come so close to you that you knew what to do. I wonder, did you ever come so close up to God and God was like just right there that you knew even what to say? Did you ever know like exactly the right words to use or exactly the right time to do something? That's part of what Pentecost is about. Some people, they were ready. They had come so close to God, they were ready for God to come close to them. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you next time.
All right. We have a few announcements today. And so let's jump into those. So just to let folks know that most of the Eastertide life groups are now on break until Town Tent. And you'll want to stay tuned for more information about our summer groups. And just a reminder that Town Tent is coming, and that will happen on June 14th at 10 a.m. It will be online. There will be online congregational voting. You can email us at, you can email the elders at elders@churchwithoutwallsberkeley.com. With your questions or comments. But just remember that that's coming up. And I'm sorry, we want to make sure that everyone gets that right email address. That's elders@churchwithoutwallsberkeley.org. So you can go there to submit your questions or comments. I have a third announcement, but before I jump to that third announcement, I want to kind of frame this for all of us. So in this past week, with the backdrop of losing 100,000 plus souls to COVID-19, we were reminded again, as some folks have stated, that we are battling two pandemics. One is COVID-19. And the other is racism 2020. We saw yet another black man, unarmed black man, handcuffed black man, lose his life at the hands of a white police officer. And that is as we are still trying to make sense of the death of Breonna Taylor, who was shot by police who invaded her home erroneously, shooting and killing her, looking for a suspect that was already in police custody, but let's not forget that they were in the wrong house to begin with. We are still trying to make sense of a young black man in Georgia jogging, minding his own business, being murdered by two white men who thought that they had the right to not only stop him, but take his life. Then, as we are trying to get our heads around what happened to George Floyd, we see just the insidiousness of racism 2020 when a white woman uses her whiteness to terrorize a black man who is doing nothing but trying to birdwatch and wanted to do it in peace and asked her to leash her dog, as according to New York law. So that's the backdrop that we find, or that is the setting, that is the way that we find ourselves here on Pentecost. And so as a church community, we know that the gospel demands that we respond to this. And so we want to give folks a couple of ways or a few ways of doing that. So we will have First Friday coming up on June 5th at 7 p.m. We will have prayer and worship. I mean, this is something that we do on a regular basis, but this one, of course, will be more centered around those issues that we just talked about. So again, that's First Friday prayer and worship at Hans and Tracy's, 7 p.m. June 5th. And then as people are going into that next week, and we know that sometimes we get a weekend and, you know, we start to naturally go into our normal routine. And so the things that happened last week become a blur as we start to try to engage what's coming at us in the next week. But we don't want that to happen in this case. In this case, we want to stay woke, active, and trying to figure out how we plot, plan, and strategize. So we will be having an action discernment on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. at June 10th. So June 10th, 7 p.m., we will have an action discernment where hopefully we will come together as a church community, plot, plan, and strategize about further actions we can take as the body of Christ. Right now, what we are going to do, we're going to enter into a time of lament. And we will be using Lamentation 5 combined with a rework of that lamentation by Sung Chan Ra. A few of us will be reading through it. We will ask that the rest of you listen and allow the words into your hearts. Then at the end, we will have a corporate response. But before we get started, I would be remiss if I didn't say this. There's a lot happening. There is violence happening. We have riots. We have looting. Now, I know that for some folk, we want to skip over how we got here and what we really would feel more comfortable lamenting about would be the rioting and the looting. I would just warn against such misplacement of animosity. Let's remember, had it not been for our loss of Breonna Taylor, our loss of Ahmaud Arbery, our loss of George Floyd, to the persisting scourge of racism, none of that would be happening now. Let me say that again. Had we not lost Floyd, Taylor, Arbery to the violence of racism, none of this would be happening right now. So let's focus our anger. Let's focus our attention. Let's focus our plotting, our planning, and our strategizing where it needs to be focused. And with that, let's begin.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you for your words. Before we begin, I'm just going to open simply with a word of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. We find that our words cannot match this moment, and we are at a loss. So we hold this moment of silence to surrender to you, Jesus, our lament, our anger, and our confusion.
Remember, Lord, what has happened to us. Look and see our disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to foreigners. We have become fatherless. Our mothers are widows.
Remember, Lord, what happened to Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and George Floyd. Look and see how they have been murdered by vigilantes and the police. They were precious ones, made in your image. Their deaths have shattered their families and all who love them.
We must buy the water we drink. Our wood can be had only at a price. Those who pursue us are at our heels. We are weary and find no rest. We submitted to Egypt and Assyria to get enough bread.
Our prosperity is built upon exploitation. Our systems benefit the privileged. Criminal justice, healthcare, employment, education. Basic human rights are taken from the needy, including the right to clean water, even the right to breathe.
Our ancestors sinned and are no more, and we bear their punishment. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the desert.
We bear the legacy of slavery and white supremacy. Black, brown, Asian, white, none are spared the devastating consequences.
Our skin is hot as an oven, feverish from hunger.
A man is killed while out for a jog. Police shot a woman as she sleeps in her own home. Police push a man to the ground. He cries out for his mother. He can't breathe. We can't breathe.
Women have been violated in Zion, and virgins in towns of Judah. Princes have been hung up by their hands. Elders are shown no respect. Young men toil at the millstones. Boys stagger under loads of wood. The elders are gone from the city gate. The young men have stopped their music.
Women have been violated throughout our nation's history. Black men have been hung, lynched, and gunned down. Elders are shown no respect. Young men can't find work and are unjustly imprisoned. Civil rights leaders have been assassinated, and young people who speak out their protests through music are silenced.
Joy is gone from our hearts. Our dancing has turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our hearts are faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. For Mount Zion, which lies desolate with jackals prowling all over it.
Our triumphant proclamations have turned into a funeral dirge. Our sense of exceptionalism has been exposed. Woe to us. This has happened before and will keep happening.
You, Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures for generation to generation. Why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us for so long? Restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. Renew as that we may find a new way forward. Amen.
And let us all pray together these final words of this prayer. Christ, hear our prayer. Holy Spirit, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. Let me continue in prayer for us. Holy Spirit of Jesus, we are grieving this morning because we know you are grieved. We join our feeble voices together this morning to speak the truth you taught us in the gospel, that your upside-down kingdom is especially for those who swim upstream against racism and oppression. We stand together in solidarity because you do, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would meet us all individually right now where we're at right now. Holy Spirit, some of us need comfort. Some of us need tears. Some of us need conviction and stirring. Some of us need repentance and action. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you can meet us in all those ways just according to our need. On this Pentecost, we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come into the dark places in our world. Come into the secret places of our soul. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. I'd like to move into a time now of hearing the word of God. And I'd just like to say that last week, you may remember that we talked about thanksgiving and gratitude. And we mentioned that sometimes gratitude and lament coexist. We talked about Psalms in which there's deep, deep lament and deep, deep joy in the same place and the same time, and that that's valid in the Holy Spirit. And I had no idea that Pentecost would look so much like that the very next week. And I really believe that this morning as a church, we are called to learn how to both lament and celebrate in the same morning. And that's hard to do because I feel like we usually experience lament or thanksgiving as driven by how we're feeling. We're overwhelmed by sorrow, we must lament. We're overflowing with joy, we must give thanks. And that's true and that's valid. But it's also true that as a community, there is a way in which both lament and thanksgiving is fundamentally truth-telling. It's fundamentally bearing witness. It's fundamentally giving testimony. And so when evil happens, when injustice happens, when bad happens, we speak the truth of that, and that is lament. And we recognize that for all of us, our feelings are in different places. Some of us, this is all we can think about, and we're overwhelmed. Some of us have been overwhelmed by work and our kids and all the other things in life, and we're just catching up to what's going on. Similarly, some of us this week are excited about Pentecost. What a great Christian holiday. Been celebrating it ever since the early days of the Jews. And some of us feel like this doesn't feel like a very good day to celebrate. And yet we want to bear witness this morning to the goodness of the gift of the Holy Spirit and to give thanks, whether our feelings tell us so or not. So we bring our feelings to God, but we also give our testimony to God, and communally we come together. And this morning I want to invite us into lament and celebration. It is right for us to do both of those this morning. On this Pentecost, we could not be silent. We could not fail to lament, but neither could we let our sadness squeeze out our celebration for the gift of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I believe it is only our celebration of the gift of the Holy Spirit that will allow us to lament. So I want to take some time now to prepare us to hear the good news of Pentecost in Acts 2. We're flipping things on our head this morning. Instead of hearing the gospel, I want this little talk to prepare us to hear the gospel, also written by Luke in Acts 2, the birthday of the church, the most exciting, amazing gift of the Holy Spirit that's given to us. And I've been preparing this part of the sermon for weeks, but I actually think it's perfect for this morning. And it starts with just a little scholarly seed. I believe this little seed will explode in just a few minutes, but it starts with just a little scholarly seed. I want to share with you just 30 seconds of an hour-long academic lecture from Lamon Sanna.
But that is unique in being a missionary religion that is transmitted without the language of the founder of the religion. And that the religion, Christianity, invests itself in all languages except, scandal of scandals, the language of Jesus. It is as if the religion must disown the language of Jesus to be the faith that Jesus taught. Christians do not pray, worship, or perform their devotions in the language of Jesus. Written in user-friendly Greek, the Gospels are translated and interpreted versions of the teaching and the preaching of Jesus. As C.S. Lewis noted, the New Testament in the original Greek is not a literary language, but the international language of the Eastern Mediterranean that had lost its beauty and subtlety.
Thank you so much. That man is one of my heroes. His name is Lamon Sanna. And I have to confess that it's always bittersweet when I encounter the writings or the words of Lamon Sanna, because when I was applying for a doctoral program, I really wanted to study with him at Yale, and he rejected me, but I forgive him. And his book still finds its place on my bookshelf of honor in my living room, where I put only my top books. And the reason I think that his words and his work are so powerful for us on this very unique and challenging Pentecost Sunday is because of his insight that comes out of his own experience of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit in Jesus. You see, Lamon Sanna grew up in the Gambia in West Africa and was part of a deep Islamic family. And as a young man, he converted to Christianity. And one of the things that he noticed about his new faith was that it was so different from Islam and from many religions in the world, in the sense that everything in Christianity is translated. That's what he was just talking about in that lecture. The idea, the crazy idea for a Muslim especially, that the very language of Jesus himself, who spoke Aramaic, didn't even find its way into the New Testament, except for a few words. So that even in the gospel as we read it, it's already a translation. And this was really weird for Lamon Sanna, because for Muslims, the linguistic center of their faith is Arabic. The geographical center of their faith is Mecca. But so he was really blown away by this idea that everything in Christianity is translated, that in order for the gospel to be embodied in any place in the world, the Bible has to be translated. And so he wrote this whole book about the power of Bible translation and the impact throughout the world is that as the Bible was translated into minority languages, into languages and cultures that had been oppressed and marginalized and colonized, they actually experienced not just conversion, but cultural revival that blossomed into independence movements. And it's an amazing story. And he shares that. So his insight, I believe, are getting ready to explode for us this Pentecost. Because as we read in the text in Acts 2, as you are about to hear, it says that this morning they were gathering just like we're gathering, and a big wind came and tongues of fire came upon them. And the Holy Spirit, for the very first time in history, came upon the church of God. And it says that at that time there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. People from all over. Cultural diversity is not an American invention. It was at that time people from all over the world. And then as the Holy Spirit fell upon them, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. All of a sudden, the gospel was first proclaimed as the Holy Spirit fell, as the resurrected Jesus took up residence in all these individuals in the church through the tongues of fire landing on their head. People began to speak in the words of their native language. And I think this is really important because language is the ultimate symbol of cultural particularity. You know, even thinking about like teens, they have their own slang, their own language. Even you think about English and all of the cultural particularity of all the different people in the world that speak English. What's the largest English-speaking country in the world? It's India. So whether it's whatever language it is, even English, even different ages, language is the ultimate symbol of cultural particularity. And so what this tells us is that the gospel has to be incarnated in our own cultural particularity. In fact, and this is what really blows my mind, this is what starts to really explode for me, and I hope for you. When Jesus was raised from the dead and he talked to his disciples, he told them, "It is better for you that I go, that I ascend to my Father." Like, better? How is that? Jesus, you're raised from the dead. You're now Lord. Jesus, why don't you just be the Pope in Jerusalem? And from there, you can build your kingdom in the whole world. That would be awesome. And Jesus said, "Actually, I have something better in mind for you. I am going to send my Holy Spirit everywhere in the world. And my gospel will be translated into every language and cultural particularity in the world. In fact, the gospel will be like a symphony made up from living communities from every single ethnicity in the world. That in essence, our cultures, our ethnicities, our ethnic and social identities become temples of the Holy Spirit. That our ethnic particularity, our cultural particularity, becomes ways that the gospel can become incarnated. If the gospel is a symphony, our own cultural location are like the instruments that the Holy Spirit is playing on to proclaim and to show the world what the gospel is like. We can only witness to the gospel through the Holy Spirit playing all of our instruments together. And that is why, from the view of Pentecost this morning, racism is so evil. Because racism is exactly that thing that destroys the instruments that would play in the symphony of the gospel. That's why for far too long, we've felt instinctively somehow, it's been in the air that we breathe that Christianity is somehow intrinsically white or European. But there is no center in a symphony. We need every instrument. The idea of sort of whiteness or of any cultural particularity being a center is a fundamental distortion of Jesus' plan on Pentecost. And so for us, this Pentecost today is a chance to recover the harmony of the gospel this morning that we can all bring as we, through our own cultural particularities, through our languages, through our ethnicities, as we together experience the Holy Spirit and speak our truth of the gospel, our truth of Pentecost. And this is especially true because we need more than anyone those who have been marginalized and oppressed. We need to see Jesus through their eyes. Haven't we been hearing that over and over again every week for like a year in the Gospel of Luke? So my question for us this morning is, how can we be faithfully a center of Pentecost at CWOW in this summer of lament? How do we respond? How do we together celebrate the reality of Pentecost from all of our different particularities? How do we bring that together in harmony? I just have two thoughts. First of all, we're already doing it this morning. Let us not underestimate the power of gathering under the Lordship of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ together and worshiping. From our own cultural particularities, we would love our church to be more diverse. We recognize that we have not overturned racism in our church. And yet we celebrate the gift of the diversity that we do have. And we say that that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And so when we gather, that's powerful. That is an expression of the symphony of Jesus. And that's no substitute for political action. That's no substitute for giving and receiving reparations. But it is the foundation of how we respond to racism in the world. It is the foundation of how we bear witness to the goodness of the gospel as Pentecostals, so to speak. In fact, I would say that one of the ways I've learned this most was part of a very multi-ethnic Pentecostal church that almost never even talked about race. And yet it was pastored by a Chinese Malaysian man, and it was attended by African Americans and Africans and Asians and sort of nerdy white people who had been in the college fellowship together. And in that place, everyone gathered around the power of the Holy Spirit. And to be honest, they weren't very woke. They barely talked about race at all. And I think that was a weakness. But by centering the Holy Spirit, they actually expressed a powerful picture and symphony of racial reconciliation, even though they didn't talk about it. And even early Pentecostals themselves, who were very apolitical and probably deeply embedded in racism, when the Holy Spirit fell in Azusa Street in 1907, that was a shockingly multi-ethnic place. And so let us gather around the Holy Spirit together and let us worship this Pentecost by centering the Holy Spirit. But then also, and this is second, as Tim mentioned, let our worship overflow into justice. It is time now to lament and celebrate, but there is also a time for taking action. And at CWOW, we have a deep commitment to justice as in tandem, in harmony with all of our other commitments. And racial justice is something that we've been committed to for a long time. And we believe that the events of this week are calling us back into asking that question urgently. What can we do? And so we want to take this morning and this week to lament. And then next week, as Tim mentioned, we want to gather. And I hope you will be part of, on the same Zoom channel, I hope you'll be gathered. I hope you'll be part of our gathering to discern together what it means to take action. And I believe also that this is very authentic and genuine for even the Acts 2 story that we are now about to hear. Because the story begins in worship. It begins of hearing the word of God together. And it ends as they all gather and they share everything in common. And as they practice economic justice together that breaks the bonds of race and class and ethnicity and all of those things. They don't just talk about it. They embody it in the way they live together, in the way they give sacrificially. So CWOW, we always mourn in hope, but we also always celebrate in sorrow. And the Holy Spirit meets us in those two things. So I just want to say thank you so much for gathering this morning faithfully to lament and celebrate with us. And honestly, I think in a great sadness, those this morning who are facing our nation without the gift of the Holy Spirit, or better said, without knowing they have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We know we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for celebrating that together this morning. Let's all reach out our hands this morning to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And let us now continue in worship by hearing the story of the very first day the Holy Spirit fell on the church. And as we hear the story, I want to invite us all to gather actually around our screens so we can actually read. And we're going to hear this story in 6 different languages. So this is for everybody. So even for kids, listen carefully to the sounds that you hear in these different languages. Look on the screen about the different words and the different scripts that are here. And then read along and listen and hear the story in a new way this morning.
Cuando llegó el día de Pentecostés, estaban todos juntos en el mismo lugar. De repente, vino del cielo un ruido como el de una violenta ráfaga de viento y llenó toda la casa donde estaban reunidos. Se les aparecieron entonces unas lenguas como de fuego que se repartieron y posaron sobre cada uno de ellos. Todos fueron llenos del Espíritu Santo y comenzaron a hablar en diferentes lenguas, según el Espíritu les concedía expresar. Estaban de visita en Jerusalén judíos piadosos procedentes de todas las naciones de la tierra. Al oír aquel bullicio, se agolparon y quedaron todos pasmados porque cada uno de los escuchaba hablar en su propio idioma. Desconcertados y maravillados decían, ¿no son galileos todos estos que están hablando? ¿Cómo es que cada uno de nosotros los oye hablar en su lengua materna?
Cuando era Parteagin, Mesiagin, Eramugin, Mata, Mesopotamia, Judea, Capadocia, Ponto, Asia, Furugia, Panfilia, Egipto, それにリビアのクレネ語が使われている地方などから来た人たちがいるし、他にもローマからの旅行者で元々のユダヤ人もいれば、ユダヤ教の改宗者もいる。それにクレテ人やアラビア人もいる。それがどうだ、それぞれの出身地の言葉で神の素晴らしい奇跡の話を聞くとは。人々はただ呆然として、一体どうなっているのだ、と顔を見合わせました。しかし中には、何、彼らは酔っ払っているだけだ、とあざける者たちもいました。するとペテロが11人の使徒と共につかつかと進み出て声を張り上げ、人々に語りかけました。よそから来られた方も、エルサレムに住んでおられる皆さんもどうぞお聞きください。皆さんの中には私たちが先に酔っているのだとおっしゃる方もいますが、そんなことはありません。酒に酔うには時間が早すぎます。朝の時から酒を飲む人はいないでしょう。
Ao contrário, isto é o que foi predito pelo profeta Joel.Nos últimos dias, diz Deus, derramarei do meu espírito sobre todos os povos. Seus filhos e as suas filhas profetizarão. Os jovens terão visões, os velhos terão sonhos. Sobre os meus servos e as minhas servas, derramarei do meu espírito naqueles dias e eles profetizarão. Mostrarei maravilhas em cima, no céu, e sinais embaixo, na terra. Sangue, fogo e nuvens de fumaça.O sol se tornará em trevas e a lua em sangue, antes que venha o grande e glorioso dia do Senhor. E todo aquele que invocar o nome do Senhor será salvo.
Israel 人啊，请听我的话，神藉着那撒那人耶稣在你们中间施行异能、奇事、神迹，将他证明出来，这是你们自己知道的。神既按着神的定旨先见，被交于人。你们就藉着无法之人的手，把他钉在十字架上杀了。神却将死的痛苦解释了，叫他复活，因为他原不能被死拘禁。大卫指着他说：我看见主常在我眼前，他在我右边，叫我不至于摇动。所以我心里欢喜，我的灵快乐。并且我的肉身要安居在指望中，因你必不将我的灵魂撇在阴间，也不叫你的圣者见那怀。你已将生命的道路指示我，必叫我因见你的面得着满足的快乐。
Vrienden, ik hoef u niet vertellen dat David gestorven en begraven is. Zijn graf is nog altijd te zien, maar hij wist.Wat er na zijn dood zou gebeuren. God had hem beloofd dat een van zijn nakomelingen in zijn plaats koning zou worden. Hij was een profeet en voorspelde dat de Christus uit de dood zou opstaan. De Christus zou niet dood blijven en zijn lichaam zou niet vergaan. God heeft Jezus uit de dood laten opstaan. Dat hebben we allemaal gezien. Hij heeft hem toen de ereplaats aan zijn rechterhand gegeven. Zoals beloofd, gaf God hem de Heilige Geest. En Jezus heeft de Heilige Geest uitgestort. En dat ziet en hoort u nu. David is niet zelf naar de hemel gegaan en sprak dus niet over zichzelf toen hij zei, God zei tegen mijn Heere, kom naast mij zitten, aan mijn rechterhand, totdat ik uw vijanden aan u onderworpen heb. Het hele volk van Israël moet weten dat God deze Jezus, die u gekruisigd hebt, tot Heere en Christus heeft gemaakt.
사람들은 이 말을 듣고 마음에 찔려 베드로와 다른 사도들에게 형제들, 우리가 어떻게 하면 좋겠소 하였다. 그래서 베드로가 그들에게 말하였다. 여러분, 모두 회개하고 예수 그리스도의 이름으로 세례를 받아 죄사함을 받으십시오. 그러면 성령을 선물로 받을 것입니다. 이 약속은 여러분과 여러분의 자녀들과 주 우리 하느님이 부르실 멀리 있는 모든 사람들에게 하신 것입니다. 이 밖에도 베드로는 많은 말로 증거하며 그들에게 이 타락한 세대에서 구원을 받으라고 권하였다. 그때 베드로의 말을 기꺼이 받아들인 사람들은 세례를 받았는데 그날의 제자의 수가 3,000명이나 추가되었다. 그들은 계속 사도들의 가르침을 받고 서로 교제하며 성산을 나누고 기도하는 일에 정적을 힘썼다. 사도들은 통하여 놀라운 일과 기적이 많이 나타나자 사람들은 모두 하느님을 두려워하게 되었다. 믿는 사람들은 다 함께 지내며 모든 것을 서로 나누어 쓰고 재산과 물건은 팔아 각자의 필요에 따라 나누어 주었다. 그들은 한 마음으로 날마다 성전에 모이기를 힘쓰고 집집마다 돌아가면서 성찬을 나누고 기쁨과 진실한 마음으로 함께 식사하며 하느님을 찬양하고 모든 사람들에게 칭찬을 받았다. 그리고 주님께서도 구원을 받는 사람이 날마다 많아지게 하셨다. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm a member here at Church Without Walls. So for this first response song in our worship time, I'll share with you, I learned in French at a Pentecostal church in Chad, where I've lived on and off for 5 years of my life. Years later, I ran into it in English, being led by a Nigerian worship leader at a Pentecostal church in Texas. And I later heard a Kiswahili version in Kenya. So, you know, there's not many things that are really truly Pan-African. With 1.25 billion people in 54 countries speaking 2,000 languages, Africa is incredibly diverse. But this song really seems to have taken off across the continent with young urban Christians from West Africa, Central Africa, East Africa, and even South Africa. We're going to drop a link to a YouTube video that I hope brings you some joy this week. I ran across it while I was preparing. It's an African-American gospel singer named Donnie McClurkin, who is leading this song in Zulu for a South African congregation. It's just infectiously joyful, and I hope it blesses you this week. I was really grumpy yesterday, and I found that I could not smile while watching it. So the words mean that there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. I walked and walked all over. I turned and turned all over. I searched and searched all over, and there's no one like him. We're going to sing it in French and then English, and then we're going to have Paige joining us virtually from Uganda with a friend of hers. They pre-recorded it in Kiswahili. So we're going to hear them, and then what I'd like to ask you to do as a church is what our Chadian brothers and sisters would do whenever somebody would bring a song in another language that they didn't know, whether it was their own language or somebody from outside the country, which is to sing along, even though you don't know the language and even though you don't understand. I hope you'll try. The last thing I wanted to say is before we start, there are motions. So Andy is going to show you what the motions are. So I've got Andy here. Let me make sure you can see her. Okay. So it goes, it's the motions are only for the chorus, and it goes, I'll do the English version so you know what's going on. Oh yeah, the French, fine. J'ai marché, marché. Okay, Andy, you need to actually do the motions. Okay.
I can't.
Okay, here. Okay. So yeah. J'ai marché, marché vers sans personne. J'ai tourné, tourné, personne, personne. J'ai fouillé, fouillé, personne, personne. Il n'y a vraiment personne comme lui. Okay. So, because you're saying I walked, I turned, and I searched. So that's what we'll do. Okay. So without further ado, let's get this started. Let me just pray that YouTube doesn't show us random ads in the middle of my drum track. Il n'y a personne qui soit comme Jésus. Il n'y a personne qui soit comme Jésus. Il n'y a vraiment personne comme lui. Quand je marche, marchais. Personne, personne. J'ai tourné, tourné. Personne, personne. J'ai fouillé, fouillé. Personne, personne. Il n'y a vraiment personne comme lui. Who is like Jesus? English, there's nobody who, no one like him. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. I walked and walked all over, all over. I turned around all over, all over. I searched and searched all over, all over. There's no one like him. Il n'y a personne qui soit comme Jésus. Il n'y a personne qui soit comme Jésus. Il n'y a personne qui soit comme Jésus. Il n'y a personne qui soit comme lui. Quand j'ai marché, marché. Personne, personne. J'ai tourné, tourné. Personne, personne. J'ai fouillé, fouillé. Personne, personne. Il n'y a vraiment personne comme lui. Celebrating God's faithfulness. Fidelidad. Tu fidelidad es grande. Tu fidelidad incomparable es. Nadie como tú, bendito Dios.
grande es tu fidelidad. Tu fidelidad es grande. Tu fidelidad incomparable es. Nadie como tú, bendito Dios. Grande es tu fidelidad. Tu fidelidad es grande. Tu fidelidad incomparable es. Nadie como tú, bendito Dios. Grande es tu fidelidad. Tu fidelidad es grande. Tu fidelidad incomparable es. Nadie como tú, bendito Dios. Grande es tu fidelidad.
So, as each Sunday, we will have prayer ministry after the service or after communion, and you can follow the link to join a different Zoom room to come for prayer ministry. And the prayer ministers for today are Deanna. She's Yes, Prime Minister Deanna, and Jim. Clever. And Abby. And myself. Before the service, we met and we prayed together. And we had some words that maybe will have special meaning for you today, and you may want to come to receive prayer if these stir you. One is just out of the deep sadness of this week, if you're feeling grief, frustration, anger, and you want people to pray along with you as you feel these things, please come to prayer. Another is that the word that Jesus is with us in our suffering. And another word is if you want to experience the Holy Spirit in a new way in your life, in a deeper way. Please come to prayer. So these are specific words. We also will pray for you for whatever is on your heart, whatever you'd like prayer for. So please come to the link after the service if you'd like to join us.
Okay. So for communion here at Church Without Walls, we invite followers of Jesus from any background to come and share at the table. Oh, wait. Yeah. If for some reason you don't feel like communion is the right step for you, we encourage you to sit and observe and to take this time to ask God where he is present to you. Communion is communal, and given our current environment, some of us might find it difficult to serve communion and to be served by another. We trust that God will meet you wherever you are at. If you'd like to participate in communion, we will have you serve communion to one another, first the bread, and then your juice or wine, as we're led into our communion song. So we remember that on the night he was betrayed, Jesus had a meal with his disciples, and during that meal, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he took the cup, and he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And we remember, even amidst the pains, the injustices, and grievances of this life, that every time we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we celebrate and proclaim Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, and that he is coming again. Please join me and extend your hands over your communion elements as I pray for them. Holy Spirit, come upon this bread and this cup and make them your very real presence. And Holy Spirit, would you come upon us and move us as a church dispersed to live justly, live in solidarity, and live in harmony with the message of your gospel. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take and eat with hearts of joy and faith.
As part of our Pentecost celebration, as we close our church now, we want to do something a little bit different. You may have noticed that because of the unique nature of our service, that we didn't break up into our small groups as we usually do. And I actually feel like that itself is a time of genuine fellowship, is sharing in the Holy Spirit, just to see a few people and to talk together and to check in. So we want to try something. We'll see how this goes. But we'd like to end our service in our breakout groups. And so it's kind of great because actually you can just talk as long as you want. And when you're kind of done, you can just end. We're not going to gather back again. You can just sort of end. Whereas before, if we meet in the middle of the service, some of us are continuing to talk and we get cut off, and others of us are like awkwardly wondering what else to say. So now is your chance to just to connect with each other this week. And really, I think we don't need to ask any special question. It would just be helpful to share with each other, like, how are you doing? And you can share at whatever level of depth that you feel comfortable with the people that you find in your group. So please do consider closing our service this morning in fellowship, in lament and celebration, and just in fellowship as you we break up into groups and we just hear how each other's doing. It's so good to be able to see each other and to connect in this time of disconnection. It's a real gift. So thank you for giving each other that gift. We'd like to close this week with, I think, with an appropriate blessing, with just the simple chorus, "This Little Light of Mine." And JJ, would you please lead us in that? And then we'll have our final blessing and break up into our groups.
All right. Let's just join in. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. One more time, this little light, this little light of mine. Oh, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Amen. Go forth now in peace to love and serve the Lord and to hang out in a little bit of fellowship.
Thanks be to God.